Welcome to the Sydney Property Muppets podcast. My name is Kurt Lawther. I'm the real estate agent, and with me forever is, like Chris, a conductor.
Like a conductor. Chris Park, the buyer's agent.
Welcome, Chris. Welcome to your own home.
Thank you very much. Welcome to the studio.
The studio, yes.
We haven't commented the new couch and fit out this year.
We haven't. It's very comfy.
You know what you should do, though, when you're in somewhere new? You should christen it. Always find
in what
it's appropriate
way?
To... Well, I think a beverage of
a beverage,
some description.
Okay, beverage.
Those playing at home, we have got beers now. I've got my matching Kurt's Loud shirt through Stubby Holder.
Thank you.
I'm matching my company branding. I'm the best.
Cheers, mate.
Oh.
Wait, what's it called? Cheers to the mayonnaise jar and two cups of coffee. Yeah.
There's always room
for two beers.
That was a throwback. Old episode for those playing at home. Excuse me. So... Buffing techniques.
I've got two aces.
I've got three aces. No, so
someone's
we just thought we'd just go through the very typical or the most common in the industry bluffing techniques that agents and buyers agents or buyers will utilize. Number one, onto you for a selling agent. What's the number one bluffing technique or tool you have at your disposal?
Number one legal bluffing technique that we often use is the auction campaign.
Mm-hmm.
So
an auction is a bluff? What do you mean?
So regardless of whether we've got confidence the property will sell at auction or not, we will always advise in most cases, the vendor to go to auction. So the thing is, for those that don't know, if you haven't sold a home yet, once you book an auctioneer in, you incur the fee. Generally, the fee is somewhere between $600 and $800.
Yep.
Might be a bit more, but generally it's about that. And once you book their time in, the vendor's paying that money.
Yep.
Or however it's coming up. But what will often sometimes happen if maybe we're not so confident in the market at the time or whatever reason, we'll book the date, but we won't incur the auctioneer fee.
Yep.
Because the idea is to
it's
to try and have a line in the sand. Now, some people might be like, Kurt, why are you giving away this free information? Well, it's like poker players. You know, you got your cards and...
Well, there are times you do an auction campaign because you fully believe that's going to produce the result of multiple buyers within the day. So why are you giving away? Well, you're not really giving any away because how are people going to know when you're bluffing and when you're not?
Exactly. Sometimes as well, and it's why we're also quite reluctant to cancel an auction, is you just never know who will rock up on the day.
Yeah.
Like we have had people rock up to an auction sight unseen before,
yeah,
rock
definitely.
It up. I haven't... Early on last year, actually, for us at one of the properties, person hadn't even seen, bidded, won, and it was like, okay.
Well, Sydney and Melbourne, but Sydney is predominantly an auction market as well. We've got to consider that. So 10K's in the city, pretty much everything is auction. 5K, absolutely everything is auction. Some exceptions, but...
Yeah.
So there is that caveat to it as well?
The only one I'd say probably is maybe the unit mark, generally housing. I would say 100% auction, but the unit, sometimes that can be maybe just depending what the preference is for the agent.
Yeah, and it also depends if you, I've done properties that are, I'm sure you're 12, 15, 20 million, quite often they're not auction because there's probably going to be one buyer. Not all the time, there might be multiple,
yep.
But sometimes there will be that one. What I also see agents using as a bluffing technique is they put the property up, they put the word auction, but they don't put any date.
Yep.
Right, and just that fear of buyers going, it's auction, means they get their ducks in a row, and some of them might lean to you and go, can we get a deal done before auction?
Yep.
Right? And in a scenario, you've got a tier two, tier three property, maybe not many buyers, but having that auction date or having that auction headline helps you to extract the buyer to make a decision sooner rather than later.
Often I think sometimes agents sometimes can forget, like not completely forget, but realize how much some people hate going to auction.
Oh yeah,
like so the fear. Yep. I've had people crying at our auctions. Like often my company, we have a lot of the agents will come there. So
you do spray pepper spray in the audience, which always seems a bit unfair.
Yeah, like because you're not going to give those kind of secrets away. And
imagine if you did.
Honestly, that's not a bad tactic. But like I've had people cry because it's just been so much. Or
I've had people cry after an auction that we've won, and they're not crying out of tears of joy and happy, they're crying because they're just so relieved that someone else did the bidding for them.
Yeah.
Because to them, that was the absolute worst. I'm not talking about this is some people's absolute worst nightmare. Okay, let's pull away from the auction standpoint. So, bluffing from a buyer's standpoint, buyer's agent, there are a few different techniques. So, number one, obviously, we could talk about comparables. As agents will say comparables, we can also. So agents will say, here are the comparables.
Yep.
Da, 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 usually trying to beef the price up. And a buyer's agent or a buyer might say, here are some comparables with the price a bit low. Trying to use that leverage.
Yep.
But the two most off... Oh, sorry.
I was just going to say, and I think you're going to hit the point, is would buyers often use they're looking at a property when they're not looking at a property?
Yeah, so that's what I was going to say in terms of... The two predominant bluffing techniques is I'm looking at multiple or I'm looking at another property. Right?
Do you reckon that should be illegal? I actually just had
a whole nother conversation here.
Just had a thought. I was like, it is illegal for agents to say they have an extra... I know it happens, not one of them, but agents will make up offers and it's illegal. But it'd be interesting, like, should there be a responsibility on the buyer to...
I think the individual has a license to operate should be penalised before the person who's coming in as a novice. Buyers, they went on, we've got the same license as you, but I think a buyer penalising them for an industry that's built to beat the crap out of them, I think that's pretty unfair when the agent themselves can get away with more often than not. Let's stick on topic for a moment.
If you can't tell, that was a curveball I threw in the
episode. That's good, it's good. All right, so yeah, we can never talk about other properties. Some of that is genuine, like your scenario. We have another property. We are looking at 12 Smith Street. It is comparable, Mr. and Mrs. Agent, to the property we're looking at. Other times, it might be a property we've seen. We don't hate, but the one we're looking at with you, as an example, is definitely what we want. Mm. But we still talk about our 12 Smith Streets.
Yeah.
Comparable. The other technique.
Well, I was just going to tag on to that is if you're a buyer and you're trying this, please be aware, though, that real estate agents, I'd say majority, actually get along with each other.
Yes.
They talk.
You'll be found out. Yep.
So if you've mentioned this...
A lot of them have worked together.
Yeah. It's
100% incestuous. So,
oh, you took the word right out of my mouth.
Incestuous.
I was about to be like, it's fucking incestuous.
I probably wouldn't have said that word. One per episode, right? Are you... No, there you go there. So I was going to say...
Oh, I forgot... The other technique for bluffing, buyers. So
we'll move on. The second technique is saying that we've reached a maximum. So we put an offer forward of 2.3 million. Sometimes that's all I have. Right? So there can be God's honest truth, that's it. There's no money more. Kurt, there's no money more, that's it. Other times the client might have given me 100 grand more and I still say to you, that's it, we're done. There's no more money. Right? It is bluffing. You could say it's lying, but I also say it's bluffing. Because in the end, I'm investing in my client. Getting if we can get your vendor to accept 2.3 and I save my client $100,000, they're happy. If your vendor is happy to sell their price, they're happy.
Yeah.
Obviously, well, you want to get the most and we want to get the least.
No, I'm happy with that. Because what a lot of buyers don't realize is on an agency agreement, it says the agent believes the property will sell between said price. That doesn't mean that's what the vendor is going to sell at.
Yeah, true.
We've had to tell people, clients want us to bump it up in the agency agreement. We're like, look, no, we generally think it's going to sell here. It will sell between here.
Yeah, and if it sells above it, great. But also at times it's sold at that level.
Yep.
Because right, also, those,
yep.
I'm just going to speed ahead. The two bluffing techniques from your standpoint, I think they're somewhat similar to mine. What does a selling agent do with their bluffing techniques?
I'm going to give two. One probably we'll do one, maybe an illegal one that shouldn't, and one that we would use. We may stress the importance more of how committed the buyers are.
Okay.
So someone might come and be like, oh, is there many people on the property? Like, have many people come through? What's the commitment level? Yep. And I could have had 10 people request a contract and I know for sure that fucking none of them, none of them are going to be committed. And they may not have told me, I just can read between the lines.
Yeah.
But if someone, I'm going to be like, look, we've had 10 people
request contracts
for more intents and purposes. They seem pretty keen. They've answered my callbacks, knowing that, you know, and actually sometimes it surprised me. Sometimes the buyers actually come back in.
Yeah, of course.
But
yeah.
An illegal one would be, we've got another offer. We've got another offer. It's strong. And that's generally would be used, one, by an unethical and unlawful agent. But it would be when they know that you really want that property. Like you've given away too many signs that you want that property, and it's like, okay, they're going to bump you up.
I assume it's also, let's say, offer of 2.3 has been put forward. Your vendor really wants 2.5, but they're okay at 2.3. You may use that as a technique, not saying, hey, the vendor really wants 2.5. You may say, there's other buyers out there, which help improve the price, which means your vendor's happier. Yep. And you know, how do you get more business? When your vendor's happier, they are referring other people. So those are sort of five different bluffing techniques from selling and buyers. I think that's put a pin in it for now.
Yep.
One of these episodes will be short and sharp and sweet.
Perfect. So Chris.
Go on.
Instead of doing three quick cues, we've got two truths and a lie.
Okay.
And you're going to work out which one is the lie.
Okay. Is the first one? Just tell me.
So, I'm going to go through the three.
That's a good idea.
I have scored 350s in my life for cricket, playing official cricket, not just Cricket 07 on the PlayStation. Oh, that's number one. Back. When I was 12 years old, I ran away from home, ran 13 Ks on Christmas Eve barefoot because I couldn't go in the pool. And the last one...
How far did you go?
13 Ks.
Okay, yep.
Anyone watching? Lake Memorial to Lake Haven. And the last one, I arrived in Denmark in winter when it was -2 degrees in 2016, wearing only singlet, shorts, and thongs.
They're all good, because I reckon...
And I haven't been pedantic. I haven't been like, you know, just tried to change like little...
What was the first one again?
First one is I've scored 350s in my life wrong. Cricket. Correct. I scored 250s.
I didn't know it was two or four. It could have been either way, but...
Yeah. Yeah. So when I was 12, brother was a little sick. He couldn't go in the pool. Got three brothers, so none of us were. And I asked, and I was like, nah. And just their attitude.
You ran the attitude. 10 kilometers.
Well, I walked. It was like it was a maddening 3.5 hour walk barefoot.
True story.
But also in Denmark, yeah. Rocked up.
I think you that one I thought.
Admittedly, it was 45 degrees in Australia that day. And then by the time I got to Dubai, I couldn't be bothered changing clothes. I'm defending mine. It's just Christmas.
Weird. Thank you for dropping by. Any last bits of homework?
It ain't about how hard you hit, it's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
That's not homework, but sure. Thank you for dropping by.